Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Turning our attention to Mac computers now with Joe Rhodes, independent computer support specialist based in Madison. Always great to have him with us. You may have a question about your iPhone or your laptop or your MacBook Pro. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And you've got yourself a new phone.
Yeah, Larry. I just actually 4 days ago, I just picked up the new iPhone 4S.
I've been
reading about it and looking at everybody else's and kind of going, oh, I can't wait to get one. And I finally decided it was time to send the old iPhone 3G out and buy a new 4S. And wow, it's been quite an upgrade.
Isn't it fun? I have one too. And
it's been neat. You know, one of the things that absolutely struck me, Apple has the new software for pretty much all of their current phones called iOS 5. And one of the big marquee features of this is a thing called iCloud. And it used to be that with our phones and our iPods, they always had to be tied to a computer. And Apple's trying to get away from that concept. They're trying to get to a concept where these things can stand on their own. So where do you sync to? And the answer is Apple now gives you free space on their servers, and you sync to that. So the practical implication of all of this is I had my iPhone 3GS, and I was running the new iOS 5 and iCloud. And then when I got my new one, I was backing up my iPhone to Apple servers. So I go to the Apple store. I buy my new phone. They sit me down at a table. It takes about 10 minutes to get my phone activated. I punch in my username and password for iCloud. And about 10 minutes later, all of my apps are there. All of my text messages are there. All of my everything, my calendar, it was all there. It was incredible. I mean, right to the point where I popped open an app that I had been using before, and it was right back to the very same screen.
And like, amazing.
It was like magic. I didn't have to hook it up to a computer. I didn't have to do anything. And that's really one of the big, cool new features of Apple's software. You don't necessarily have to have an iPhone 4S, but iOS 5, the software that runs on it, will run on anything from an iPhone 3GS and up. And it backs up every night while you have your phone plugged into a power source and connected to a Wi-Fi network. It just automatically backs up to Apple's servers. So if something, say, unfortunate happened, let's say your phone got stolen, lost, whatever, you go get a new one, and minutes later, you're right back to where you are. All your contacts are there, all your text messages. It's fantastic.
Yeah, dump your phone in the lake.
I've never had it be so easy to get a
I've
new
done
phone.
That.
Oh, no.
It's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling at all.
Well, you know, here's another very interesting fact I learned 2 days later after buying my new iPhone. I've never been one for cases, and I've had a phone, an iPhone, for like 4 years. I've never dropped one. Well, wouldn't you know it, it dropped off my kitchen table, and when it comes to iPhone versus ceramic kitchen tile, the tile wins.
Yeah.
So I took my phone to the Apple store, and I'm sheepish, and I'm going, oh boy, this is going to be expensive. Well, the back of the iPhone 4, they can replace in-store for $30, and it took like 15 minutes. It's two screws, and they just pop the glass plate off and put a new one on. Now, if you're unfortunate enough to crack the front, that's a bigger story because it's got the touchscreen. But if you have a damaged iPhone, and this is what I thought was fantastic, Apple has an exchange program where you can go to an Apple store and they will give you essentially a remanufactured one. But the guy told me more often than not, they're actually new. But you give them your damaged one, they give you a new one for $150, and then they send your damaged one off to get repaired. So I was always under the impression that you had to spend, you know, the unsubsidized price, which is like $700.
Yeah.
No, you actually get it, – it's basically a flat fee to fix whatever you might have done, such as dropping it in a lake. $150. It's still painful. I mean, I don't recommend trying to drop it in a lake.
But no.
It's much better than having to spend $700 on a brand new phone.
Yeah.
No, you just get a repaired one. So I thought that was a very interesting bit of data to have if you've got a phone that you accidentally cracked, dropped in a lake.
Yeah, I did that. And I wound up, I think what I did in that case, that was before my iPhone. So I think I just shelled out a whole big pile of money.
Yeah, because if you're in the middle of your contract, you don't get a subsidized phone. But
I paid the full price.
Yeah. So as it turns out with the iPhone, the only time you have to shell out the full unsubsidized price is if you lose it or it gets stolen.
Susan in Wausau has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Susan.
Hello. I have an iPad 1, which I use I use it constantly.
Cool.
But I'm noticing lately that my battery seems to be going down quicker. I do try to empty it of the apps that are being running.
Mm-hmm.
I was told by that to eliminate those as quickly as I can.
Okay.
But what else might be causing this? And is there any way, do you suggest ever running the battery down to zero? Does that help keep the life of the battery longer, or what would you recommend?
Well, you know, in the old days of mobile devices, that was what we were told to do, was run the battery down to nothing. As it turns out, with modern batteries, and modern I'm saying in the last 5 to 7 years, not so necessary. As a matter of fact, excuse me, not necessary at all.
Okay.
You already did step one, which is, you double tap on the home button and see if you've got any applications are running. Because I've had that with my old phone where I think it was Skype that would just sit there and run, and it would just really run down my battery. So you've already tried that. The next step you might try is connect your iPad either to your Mac, or if you use iCloud backup, whichever one of those you use, but get a good recent backup, and then try restoring your iPad to factory defaults. Like, just wipe it off and put a clean operating system on it, and then restore from backup to put all your settings back on there. You don't lose anything. But basically, if there was anything maybe going a little funny with the software, that would take care of it.
If I went to the Apple Store, would they help me with that?
Mm-hmm. And that was actually step number three, is sometimes these batteries do fail. And they're supposed to last quite a long time, but every once in a while, you'll get that one that wasn't manufactured just perfectly, and it will fail sooner than it might otherwise.
And I did take that extra, paid $100 to have more...
warranty?
The warranty, yeah.
Yeah. So if that's the case, you know, they'll probably ask you to do some of these things. And if you say, hey, I tried quitting apps, I tried reinstalling the operating system, and that's actually a lot easier than it sounds. It sounds very, very troubling, but it's actually pretty easy. And if you look online, there's instructions for how to do that.
Reinstall my factory settings is what you said?
Yeah, basically. You know, so you make sure you do a backup first. So that's really important. And if you do a backup, you won't lose anything.
And my backup, I'm connected to iCloud. How do I do that backup?
It's probably happening automatically every night, but you can go into the preferences application, and under iCloud preferences, if you scroll down there, there's a button that says storage and backup, and then there's another button that says backup now. And it'll tell you when the last time it was backed up.
Okay.
And just hit that button, give it about anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes. It'll have a little scroll bar, it'll finish off, and then you know you have a nice, fresh backup.
And that takes care of all my notes, everything that I have on this iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go to Sue in Milwaukee. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I had Leopard, then I went to Snow Leopard, then I downloaded Lion.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of photo editing. Now when I am editing photos in my iPhoto, it is terribly slow. I have a big picture on the screen when I am editing, and I will use the toggle arrows to go back or forth, and I wait, and the rainbow swirly thing occurs, and I just can't get my pictures to progress. I hit delete, and it takes forever to delete.
Okay.
My whole iPhoto program is slow.
Okay. And is this the same version of iPhoto that you were using before, or is this an updated version
same.
Of iPhoto?
Well, I do the updates.
Okay. But I mean, you didn't go buy the most recent copy of...
It's my same. And I'm hoping to buy Apertures, but I'm very hesitant because I've read some of the literature that Lion and Aperture just don't coexist.
I can't say I've heard that, but then I'm not using Aperture myself, so I can't speak firsthand.
Okay. But with iPhoto, it's so slow.
Here's a couple things you might want to check. First off, take a look and see if your hard drive is getting close to full.
Okay.
So if you click on your hard drive and under the file menu you say Get Info, it will tell you how big the hard drive is and how much free space you have.
Okay.
If you are approaching full, your Mac will get slower. The next thing you might want to check is see how much memory your Mac has. And that's pretty easy. You go under the little Apple menu and you say about this Mac, and then it will tell you how much RAM you have.
And I upgraded to 4.
You upgraded to 4. Okay.
Right.
4 is a pretty good number. If you've got a lot of stuff that you're doing at the same time, like if you've got a web browser open and some other things, 4 can get a little thin. Now, I'm not sure where iPhoto's happy spot is, but I know that the more RAM you give it, the happier it will be. And that little spinny rainbow guy kind of tells me that you might be short on resources here somewhere.
What if the hard drive is on full? What do you do then?
If your hard drive is full, you've got one of two options. You either have to get rid of stuff you have or go get a bigger hard drive and migrate everything from the old
one. I use my external hard drive. I'm using the external hard drive for editing.
And again, that one has to have enough free space if that's where your photos are. If that's where your iPhoto library is, that has to have enough free space. The built-in hard drive also has to have enough space because that's where the actual computer is running from. And if it's running out of space there, that either of those can slow down iPhoto.
Okay, I'll check those.
All right.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We have a Facebook question from Terry. Has a Mac 10.5.8 OS. I continuously receive pop-ups telling me that my Safari is in need of updating. When I try to do this at the Apple Store, I receive a message that I need 10.8 OS. I can't seem to find a solution.
Oh, that's interesting. As of right now, I don't believe there is a 10.8 Mac operating system, but I suspect there might be something else. You don't necessarily have to go to apple.com to do this. I've never heard of a pop-up telling you that Safari is out of date, but what you should be able to do is under the Apple menu, the first or second option there is software update. And what you want to do is that will tell you, as long as you're connected to the internet, it'll go through and it'll see, okay, here's some updates from Apple that I have for your computer. And then you basically go ahead and say install. It'll probably ask you for a password. Keep doing that until there are no software updates available. So sometimes these have to go in order, so you have to put down level A before you can put level B and then level C. So it might run several times in a row. So just keep running it until it says, nope, you've got all the possible updates. If there are any updates for Safari for a computer, that should install them.
There we go. And we have lots more callers online, and we will get to those calls, but we are going to take a quick break for a look at the news and weather to find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. Are you a Mac fan? Why or why not are you a Mac fan? What could convince you to either switch to or away from Mac computers? The problems you're having with your Macs, if any? If you could create your ideal Mac product, what would it be? That's something kind of interesting to think about. And we'll talk about those things with Joe Rhodes right after a look at the news here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, whether it's a desktop or a laptop computer or a fun gadget like an iPhone or an iPad, Apple products are everywhere all around us, and a lot of people are loyal fans like me. Others need to be convinced. Perhaps like you. Larry Mueller here, happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network. My guest is independent computer support specialist Joe Rhodes. He's with us till 12:30 today to talk about new software, hardware, and operating systems. And, of course, he'll be happy to answer your questions as well when you call in. If you have some problems with your Mac or some of your Apple products, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. Don't forget, go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. If you click like while you're there, we'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Talking about keeping your Mac running well, whether it be a laptop, whether it be a phone, an iPhone, or an iPad. Joe Rhodes, our guest today, independent computer support specialist. He's based in Madison. Probably has the answer for you. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234 if you have a question for Joe. And Matt in Dodgeville, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Joe and Larry. I just bought an iMac. I used iMac G4 for my son so that he could get acclimated with it. I don't know much about Macs.
Okay.
But it doesn't have wireless. So I thought, well, hey, I can just get a USB thing and throw it in. That didn't work. And I can't get the USB wireless to work. It, like, won't recognize it.
Yeah.
What can I do?
You know, I've had very limited experience, but I have fought with one of those guys, and you're kind of dependent upon the software that they ship with it, and it can be a little dicey. It's really going to depend on exactly which USB wireless guy you got. The one I had, it had its own particular software that you had to use. You couldn't just use a third-party software. Or you couldn't use the built-in Mac software. That's pretty much the best option you have for wireless on that guy. If this is a G4 iMac, I'm assuming that's the kind that kind of had that articulating arm like a desk lamp almost.
Yeah, it's got the half moon thing at the bottom.
Yeah. Short of going on eBay and see if you can find an Apple wireless card for it, which would make things a lot simpler for you.
Okay.
Because it's not that hard to there's just a plate on the bottom. You take off a couple of screws and it should pop right in. There should be an antenna cable there for it. It came ready for wireless. It just didn't necessarily have the card. Short of that, you might do some search and see if you can find a USB wireless guy that will use the native Mac software. The third-party drivers for that usually are... The problem is there's just not much of a market for those things because so many Macs shipped with wireless that the manufacturers just don't put a lot of effort into making it because it's just you're such a small niche market that they don't go after it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. The way easier option, if you've got it, is buy yourself a spool of cable and run a cable between where your internet comes in and where the iMac is. Then you kind of work past all of that.
Yep.
Okay.
If that's even an option, I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Andy in Harpers Ferry, Iowa, it is your turn. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
I have a question about the feasibility of buying a refurbished Mac. I have an iMac 10.4, which has got just 1 megabyte of memory, and it's slow as a boat. That's a boat with oars. But I wonder, I've been looking, and I see Apple sells them through the Apple store, but they didn't seem to be a lot less. If I bought the Snow Leopard, I didn't seem to get, I could, for about a couple $100 more, I could get the
brand new one,
the latest one, the Lion. But the Lion has so many updates that I don't, I'm elderly, and I have been a school teacher, and I started with the old Bell & Howell Black Apple. So you know how old I am.
Well, you're never too old to learn.
Oh, that's true, but the willingness is not there anymore.
And points for honesty. Well, here's the thing. The Apple computers that they sell as refurbished, they are not that much less expensive than the new ones. And typically, they're not too far behind the model of the new one. So hardware specs, they're pretty much the same thing. It's something someone bought it and decided to return it, or they thought there was something wrong, and so Apple took it, and they fixed whatever was wrong, made sure it was up to their specifications, and then they're selling it. They can't sell it as a new one, but they're selling it basically as a new one. It's got the full one-year warranty when you buy it. So that's why it's almost the same as buying a brand spanking new one.
The one I looked at had been sold in May of 2011, so it was barely out of the box.
Yeah,
They still wanted $1,100 and some bucks. Well, for $1,200, I can buy the Lion.
Exactly.
21-inch, So
yeah.
The other ones I heard about. Do you know anything about Tiger or what is it? Egghead or.
Oh, yeah, there's a website called Egghead where they sell, I don't know, honestly, I've never shopped much there, but I think what they do is they basically buy surplus stuff and sell, so somebody bought...
At the end of the season or
yeah,
at the end
yeah,
of the...
So they're selling last year's fashions, and I think they do it with computers. Well, I know they do it with computers. I just don't know about Macs. It doesn't hurt to shop around if you don't need the latest and greatest. You can certainly shop around and find a Mac that is, still sitting around somewhere in its box that somebody didn't need. Used Macs, you can certainly pick up used Macs, but then you run a little higher risk of buying something that maybe has something wrong with it.
This is why I started with the Apple Store, but then was surprised there wasn't more of a discount.
It's
almost brand new, so.
Apple's not real notorious for discounting things.
No,
that's one of those truths that comes back and slaps you around.
They really hold the line even on prices, even during the holiday season, Black Friday, all that. They don't really do much with discounts.
No, unfortunately. There you have it. Thank you, Andy, for calling. Appreciate it. Bill in Madison, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi, I've got a small business environment where I have three people that have MacBooks and iPhones.
Okay.
And we're considering, and we're using a time capsule for wireless to connect everybody for sharing files and also for backup.
Good for you.
And we're considering moving up to Lion, but only because of the possibility, as you were talking about at the beginning, of iCloud.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get a straight answer. If we did use iCloud, could we have all three computers and all three iPhones be able to share the same calendars together?
Yes.
In context.
Yes. As a matter of fact, you can. What might be tricky is the fact that you'll have to selectively choose on each Mac certain calendars that you don't want shared. The whole point of iCloud, besides the automatic backup of your wireless devices, it also does a very good job of syncing calendars, contacts, and things like that across multiple macOS devices. So that's exactly what it's designed to do. If you have a laptop, a desktop, and an iPhone, it's designed to take the calendars and the contacts and whatnot from each of those devices and make sure they're the same thing all the time, all done over the network. So if you've got four or five users and they all want to share exactly the same calendars and exactly the same context, that's exactly what it's designed to do. Where you might get into trouble is if you have a user that wants to use their phone and have their personal contacts on there, those are also going to get synced up to iCloud and back down to all these other Macs, and suddenly their personal contacts are now in everybody's Mac and iPhone.
Okay.
So that's the only part that might get a little tricky, but no, what you're talking about is exactly what iCloud is designed to do.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling.
I should probably say there might be an upper limit on how many Macs you can put into iCloud, and I don't know what that upper limit might be off the top of my
head.
But three should easily fit in there. I think if you start talking 100, that might be hitting some sort of limit, but no, with three, that should work.
Carson in Independence, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Carson.
Hi. My question is another one about iPhoto.
Mm-hmm.
I got a MacBook. I'm running Snow Leopard.
Okay.
And after I upgraded to Snow Leopard, then I got iPhoto 11.
Okay.
And I've had problems. I'm not sure if it's from the camera or iPhoto itself, but my library is really quite screwed up. I've got the same set of pictures in there. In three different places, they have different dates.
Got it.
Don't match the original dates. Have you heard about that problem with iPhoto, or is it?
I haven't heard about that problem specifically with iPhoto, but I know that, and I don't know which version of iPhoto you were using before. iPhoto 09 or 10, somewhere in there, they drastically changed the interface of iPhoto.
Right.
And when they did this, a lot of things started to either show up or looked kind of bizarre in a way that people were going, what just happened? The new version of iPhoto heavily depends on photos and the dates that they were taken. And then what it does is it groups those photos together by date with the assumption that you take your camera, you go out to, say, a wedding or a birthday party or a carnival or whatever it is, and you take a bunch of pictures and then you go home and you load them onto your computer. It takes those, it goes, oh, well, these all happened about the same time. This must be all the photos for one single event, and it groups them together in these events. And what I ran into the first time I upgraded to iPhoto is I had an old camera where the dates were not correct. And so iPhoto was putting these in, it was doing what it thought was right, but it was just all over the place. And I spent quite a bit of time just trying to organize all of these old photos into the proper events so that they actually looked the way they were supposed to. But yeah, I found a bunch of photos that I didn't even know I had because it was, one had one date and one had another date. So I don't have a quick solution for that, but I do, if you had an older version of iPhoto, I do understand how it may have happened. If you've got a fairly new camera that keeps its date pretty well, that problem shouldn't continue to go into the future, but it is kind of a pain in the butt now.
There you go. Sorry. Steve in Dane County, it's your turn.
Someone may have an answer to that one, too. I don't know.
I tuned in late. I hope this hasn't been covered yet.
Okay.
But recently I've seen an ad for a program that advertises that it will, quote, clean up your Mac, unquote. Now, I know that I've seen programs like that for Windows. And I just wondered if you knew anything about the advisability of using such programs, their availability, how many different kinds there are, and what you'd recommend.
Well, where did you see the ad? Was it online on a web page, or did you see it on television or something like that?
I'm sure I saw it online.
Okay. Be a little cautious. There had been a virus going around, and it got embedded into web pages. And it would pop up and it would say Mac Cleaner or something to that effect, and it would offer to do that. And when you clicked OK and then installed it, And so it didn't happen by itself. You actually had to intentionally install it. You'd have to enter in your password. So you went through the whole steps of installing it. It was actually a virus that did that. And I think it was called, one of the variations was called Mac Cleaner, if I'm not mistaken. But it was basically saying, hey, I'm an antivirus software for your Mac and I'm free. Go ahead and install me. So in that case, I would be incredibly leery about that particular program. What you could do, if you see that and you wanted to, you know, do some research on it, you punch it into Google and see what other people have to say. As a general rule, Macs don't need a lot of ongoing maintenance. They pretty much handle themselves. You want to make sure that you always go into the Apple menu, hit the software update, and keep all those up to date. But otherwise, you don't have to defragment the file system. They do that on their own. They should clean up their own logs and take care of those. I don't run any repair utilities on mine. Every once in a while, there is a program in your utilities folder called Disk Utility that you can run on your hard drive to just check out and make sure that everything is looking okay. And it'll, depending upon how big your hard disk is, that could take 10 to 20 minutes to run. And yeah, just make sure that that shows no problems. That's pretty much the only maintenance I ever do.
And thanks a lot for calling. We have an email from Tatiana, who has a MacBook Pro. Suddenly, her sound can't be turned down from the icon in the toolbar if she's on the internet. It works for iTunes, but if she wants to turn down a YouTube video, for example, she has to go into the sound controls in her preferences and turn it down from there. And she also can't mute from the toolbar.
Well, you know, my first thought is the toolbar on a Mac does double duty. It's got function keys like F1, F2, F3, etc. And then it's also got those keys are also mapped to do things like turn your screen brightness up and down, adjust your volume, etc. There is a setting in the system preferences. You'll see a little icon there for keyboard. And then there is a checkbox in the keyboard control panel that will say use the F1, F2, etc. keys as standard function keys. And if you check that, then they work as F1, F2, and they don't work as volume control keys. To get that function back, if you hold down the function key on your keyboard and press those same keys, that will toggle what they do. So my suggestion at first is just to be really, you know, quick about it, hold down the function key and hit the mute button and see if it works then. If it does, then you can take a trip to the system control panel and you can decide, do you want the function keys working more often or do you want the volume control keys working more often? It's really a matter of which do you use more often. In my case, I almost never adjust the volume, so I have them mapped out as function keys. When I do want to adjust the volume, I press that extra key on my keyboard and then hit the volume key, and then it works.
There we go. Lynn got an iMac for Christmas. Yay, she says. Has a 4 gigabyte memory. Do you recommend upgrading?
Well, you know, that's going to be very dependent on what Lynn is doing. Right off the bat, 4 gigs is a pretty reasonable amount of memory to start with. And if you're going to be doing web browsing, email, maybe some iPhoto, some light movie editing, 4 gigs is just fine. When you start to get into heavier usage, and I'll put myself in this category, I tend to demand a lot out of my Mac. More memory is always better, and it's not terribly expensive these days. So if you're going to be doing a lot of movie editing, a lot of memory really comes in handy. If you're the kind of person to have Microsoft Word open, 10 browser windows, your email, maybe a couple of different browsers, and who knows what else, then you definitely want to have more memory. If you plan on running a Windows virtual machine, with Macs now you can get a program, several different programs actually, and you can run a copy of Windows inside of your Mac. That requires the resources of effectively 2 separate machines, but they're sharing 1 physical piece of hardware. In that case, having more memory really comes in handy because Windows would like to have 2 gigs of RAM, and then you still want to have plenty of memory for your Mac. Adding memory there makes sense.
Catherine emailed us, I love my iPod Touch, but I hate using iTunes to put content on the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be able to drag and drop my photos quickly onto the device instead of having to go through the laborious and confusing process of using iTunes, which takes 10 times as long. I'm considering buying a tablet and like the format of the iPad, but I don't want to have to use the iTunes to add stuff. Is there a way around it?
Well, there are, actually. There is. Apple really funnels everything through iTunes. But we were talking at the beginning of the show, they have this new product called iCloud, where they're trying to get away from the computer-centric model and just go to the network-centric model, where it doesn't matter whether you sync your iPad to your computer or someone else's computer. It's all accessed via the cloud or the internet. One of the features of iCloud is called PhotoStream. And it's a brand new feature. It still has a couple things. I don't care about it, but it's getting there. And the idea is that if you have your phone or your tablet or whatnot, and you take pictures, those pictures automatically get pushed up to the cloud, automatically get pushed down to your Mac running iPhoto. And vice versa, if you put pictures in the iCloud on your Mac, they will automatically get pushed up through the internet and then magically show up on your iPad, your iPhone, etc. So that might be a solution to kind of work around this. Short of iCloud, though, that's the only way I know of. I know you can set, in iTunes, you can set a particular iPhoto album to automatically sync with your phone. And then having done that, you can just put any pictures you want into that iPhoto album. And then whenever you plug in your phone, it will automatically sync them back down to your iPhone. I've got a couple of photo albums that I do that with.
Brian in Superior, on to you. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I've got that exact G4 Daisy Mac you were talking about.
Huh.
And I was just popped online and looked at a couple options, because what I ended up buying was a Asus.
Uh-huh.
And the model was WL-167G. It's a USB connector, just plugs in. And then you have a little thing when you launch the computer, you have to click on it, and it goes and sees the network. But
so they gave you a little piece of software that you install,
yeah,
and then that runs their wireless card.
Right. Or I just went online and I looked up on low-end Mac the exact spec, and I'm finding at Otherworld Computing, which is a dedicated Mac store kind of, for older people.
Oh, I purchased a lot of stuff from them.
Oh, yeah. But they have an Apple AirPort 802.11b for only $29.
Oh.
So, wow. I mean, if they just typed in that, went to Otherworld Computing and typed in 802, you know, or just call the guys and tell them what you got. They're really helpful.
Yeah, they really are. I was just going to say, if you're not sure what you need and you call them, they will get you right to what you need pretty fast.
I bought upgrade cards for my old G3 to turn it into a G4, all kinds of stuff, hard drives, everything. They're really nice, and especially RAM and that kind of thing, because Apple is a little different in some respects.
I am.
Well, thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Kim in River Falls, your turn.
Hi. I have a suggestion for something I'd like to see Apple do.
Sure.
Is that when I don't know enough about my computer, and I get stumped because I need to do something, and then a pop-up will pop up. It'll say, do this, then this, then this, then this. Well, when I go to do the first thing, it's gone, and I have to go back to where it was and try to figure out what I was supposed to do. It would be nice if it would physically talk you through it without clicking out of the window of, now you have to do this.
Sure. And I should point out that I actually don't have any direct ties to Apple. So I agree with you. I think that's a brilliant idea. There's not a lot I can do with that idea to actually make it come to fruition. Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't hurt to email them. And
I was going to say, if you go to apple.com and you search for feedback, most companies, you get the feeling that goes into an electronic black hole. I think Apple actually reads that stuff, because there's been several times where I've sent feedback requests and the next version of the software, holy cow, there's that feature I asked for.
Wow.
That's kind of cool.
Okay, well, I have one more question. My computer, my Apple laptop is running slower and slower, and I don't know what to do.
Well, the first thing to check, we had kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but see if your hard drive is starting to get full.
Okay.
Because if your hard drive is getting full, it's kind of like trying to fit papers in a file cabinet. As it gets fuller, it gets harder and harder to do. If you click on the picture of your hard drive just once, so it's highlighted, and then you go under the file menu and say get info, that will tell you how big the hard drive is and how much free space you have.
Okay.
And you want to have about 10% or more free. If you start getting under 10%, things start to get a little slow.
Okay. Now, you were saying I have Windows and the Windows operating system and the Apple operating system on there.
Oh, you do? You have both on your Mac?
Yeah, my husband needed it, so we put it on there. But now he doesn't use it anymore.
Yeah.
So if that the Windows operating system, that virtual machine for Windows, That can take up a lot of space right there, depending upon how much you allocated to it. If it is running, you might look at adding some more memory, some more RAM.
Or so if you don't need it, take it off.
Yeah.
I might just take it off. I was wondering if that might be part of the problem.
It could be. So that'll be one place to look at where you'll find a file that's awfully big, because it has effectively an entire second hard drive as a single file somewhere on your hard drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I download my Quicken for Business, my QuickBooks onto my computer now, is that going to take up a huge amount of space?
If it's something you're downloading, it shouldn't take up that much space, I wouldn't think.
There you go. So. Thank you very much for calling. And is there, in 15 seconds, somebody's looking for a recommendation for personal finance software for Mac and for Apple PC? Intuit is not supporting Lion for their Quicken. Any recommendations?
Yeah, no, Intuit's kind of fallen off the bandwagon. There is a website that I ran into recently, and I'm trying to remember what it was called. It was really cool. Short answer is no, I don't have a recommendation on that.
Okay.
Wow, you caught me flat-footed.
If you think of one, post on my Facebook page.
Very good, I can do that.
All right, thanks, Joe, so much. And you'll come back?
Absolutely.
Joe Rhodes, our guest, independent computer support specialist. If he thinks of it, he'll post it on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Thank you all for listening. Tomorrow we'll take a look at snowmobile safety, among other things, here on the Ideas Network.